excited to be with us today for our worship time together. So, there is an outline in the bulletin this morning. If you receive one, I sometimes ask my brother to look around. I know we have guests with us, and please make sure they have a bulletin or share. So if you'd like to follow along, you're very welcome to do that. Very familiar story about the alabaster box, an experience that took place in the life of Jesus. In the text that was read to us in John chapter 12, by the way, this story is also in Mark chapter 14. We're going to make this lesson in two parts because next week I'm going to read this same story, but how Mark records it and then make some lessons from that account that Mark gives. So we'll get to look at this lesson twice. So in John chapter 12, as Leroy read to us, there was 6 days before the Passover. And they came to Bethany. And this was the place where Lazarus had died. The same Lazarus that Jesus raised from the dead. And there at this house, they make Jesus suffer. And the Bible says Martha served. And Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table. While they're gathered together, Mary takes a pound of ointment of spikenard. Is very costly. And she anoints the feet of Jesus and wipes his feet with her hair. And by an interesting phrase, it says the house was filled with the smell of the ointment. One of the disciples calls him by name, Judas Iscariot, and also gives the identifying mark, the one that would betray Jesus. He said, "Why wasn't the ointment sold for 300 pence or denarii and given to the poor?" Then the Bible gives that little interlude in there. It says, "Oh, by the way, this he said not that he cared for the poor, but he was a thief, and he had the bag, meaning the purse, the treasure of the group, and he bare that which was put therein." Then Jesus said, "Let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor you have always with you, but me you have not always." Mark 14 gives the phrase the alabaster box, where John just says a pound of ointment of spikenard. Bible dictionary describes an alabaster box as a box of white, made of white marble. And the marble was called alabaster marble. It was located, at least the dictionary says, someplace west of Egypt. In describing the ointment, it says, no, it was an ointment. There could be in lotion form too in the box. Perhaps that was imported from India. So this is a very prized or special container and contents that Mary had. It was, the Bible dictionary says, it was probably a rose red perfume. Expensive. And the fragrance was called spikenard. Spikenard. I've never asked anybody at the cosmetic counter for spikenard. I don't know if Christine would appreciate getting some spikenard or not. I've never asked her. But it's very costly. You know, it's very precious perfume. You know, so maybe on the next occasion, I may try to make another effort and go someplace else. But just the name, spikenard. I'd like something like honeysuckle or, I don't know, lilac or rose blossom or bacon bits.
Bacon bits, yeah.
Something that really kind of smells pretty good. I'd go for that. But it says in verse 3, the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. I got sidetracked for a moment. So this event takes place at the house of Simon. But, and he does mention that this was a leper that Jesus had cleansed. And I put in your notes, there's several people at this event, but four people stand out. We're going to look especially at three of them. But there's Lazarus, the one that Jesus, I mean, just before this event, raised from the dead. Then there's Mary, Lazarus' sister. Then there's Judas Iscariot. He would later betray Jesus within the week. Then there's Jesus himself, the master teacher, and he's going to give his life on the cross later that same week. During this event, there's a discussion. And it rose over Mary's action. Not much of a discussion, but some conversation. Because during this event, Mary breaks the seal on this box, this alabaster box that's filled with spikenard. She anoints Jesus' head and feet, and then Mary dries the feet of Jesus with her hair. Judas sees that and kind of bemoans the action, says this is expensive perfume and it's being wasted. You see, to Judas, this was a foolish and worthless impulse. So Jesus steps in. He rebukes Judas and commends Mary. Why? Wasn't Judas right? You understand? You might want to go in a circle. Yes and no. Well, let's take a look at this event, especially these three people. Like I said, we'll talk about this story again next week from Mark's account. But let's take a look, and by the way, I don't know who else is in attendance or what their reaction is. I don't know what the response was from Lazarus, who's there, or Simon that's at his house. There's Martha. Might be even others in attendance. But we do get a picture of these three. First, Judas Iscariot. We know his response. Kind of an interesting figure Judas is. Sometimes knowing what we do now, we wonder, how did he ever get selected as an apostle? Bible says he kept the purse, though, for the group. It also says in verse 6 he was a thief. Seems like throughout the ministry of Jesus, his character begins to crumble. He starts out, perhaps, as loyal. Then maybe he's just going to go along for the ride. Maybe he's even thinking, if Jesus ever becomes an earthly king, I might get a position of high authority. I'm already the treasurer for the group. But in this event, he called a tightwad. Called a thief. And in just another few days, he's going to sell himself out for 30 pieces of silver. He's going to give Jesus a betrayal kiss. When the alabaster box is open, he lashes out at Mary. He pretends to be upset that this expensive ointment was not sold. And he asks, why wasn't the money given to the poor? But again, he wasn't concerned about the poor. He was a greedy thief. Probably wanted the money for himself in some way. When we look at Judas, there's a lesson for us. And that is, good motives on the part of other people, or motives on the part of other people, I think it was Judas, seen beyond his comprehension. Mary can't do something good. So Judas, I think, like many others, even in society today, was so preoccupied with himself that it didn't seem possible that someone else could love enough to pour out such expensive ointment on an impulse or because of affection. So I think it's to be expected, even in today's society, for us, to those who are not Christians, the honest generosity of us is going to look like a foolish waste. You may have already experienced that. You tell people, well, I attend worship every Sunday. They'll say, every Sunday? Well, I go back on Sunday night too. maybe a Wednesday night. I come early for worship for a Bible class. You do what? You spend that much time? I feel Sunday's my day off, they may say, and I'm going to go do this or go this place, enjoy some recreation, and you go to worship? Wow. What we do, and we don't think of it as extravagant, but others do, and they can't comprehend us spending so much time and talent on God. You give how much? They probably don't know. Sometimes people may look at our offering, our contribution, and say, that's a car payment. For some, it'd be a used car. Others don't understand the amount that we give. How can you do that? That's the way Judas looked at what Mary was doing to Jesus. He couldn't comprehend why wasn't it? It's a waste. There was probably a better use for that. But Jesus fixes it in a moment. Let's take another look. The second person in the story, Mary. What did the alabaster box look like to Mary? She's a personal friend of Jesus. Probably right now her heart is in a thankful mood. You just raised my brother from the dead. Thank you, thank you. Maybe she remembers, Jesus, I remember you crying. It was just a day or two ago. You cried at the burial site. Maybe she's remembering the message about Jesus giving his life. Or he was about to give his life. It just seems to be something about Mary. She has this joy. This admiration for Jesus. So perhaps what else could a heart like Mary's do than open the alabaster box? To her, the perfume is saying there's nothing too good for Jesus. She's probably thinking, I have something precious in this house, and I've been saving it for a special occasion or when we really are in need. Maybe perhaps I could sell it to kind of relieve our situation, poverty situation. I'm not sure. But here we have this situation. I have something precious, and Jesus is here, and I'm going to give it to him right now. I always wonder when I read this story, I wonder if she sat down and calculated the price of the content. I wonder if she thought, ooh, this is a lot. Ooh, should I give it to Jesus? No, I don't think so, in my opinion. No, I don't think, she's not debating whether this is going to be a foolish splurge. She's not debating whether it's going to be a waste. You no doubt love the box. I love that I have this stash, if you will, over here. But she loved it even more because it would be used as a fitting expression of her love for Jesus. She's thinking, I need to break open the box for Jesus, and I need to do it now because this situation may never present itself again. Get that? I need to do it now. Tomorrow may never come. So the lesson is for you and me while we're alive, the best that I can find within me, that which is most precious to me, the beautiful, is what I need to lavish on Jesus in Christian living. I want to give him the best that I can because of my love for him. And I want to do it now. Do it now. The third person in the story in our lesson this morning is Jesus. How does he view the event? Obviously, Jesus knows the hearts of both Judas and Mary. I think if I would have heard those words of Judas, and if I was Mary, I'd think, oh, that letter alone. I just said shut up, dude. Letter alone. And then Jesus gives the interpretation of Mary's action. We're not left to our own imagination. Jesus tells what Mary just did. It said in verse 7, against the day of my burying has she kept this. Mark says, in Mark's account of this story, we'll look at it again next week, she's done it. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. So what was wasteful to Judas was a priceless and a precious event to Jesus. Yeah. And then Mark also adds, she has wrought a good work on me, Jesus said. And Jesus also said in Mark's account, she has done what she could, and I like that. Done what she could. There were probably others in that assembly that couldn't do what Mary just did. They weren't the owners of the box. They can't duplicate what Mary did. But Jesus points out Mary just did what she could. So the lesson is we want to do what we can when we can. That's the lesson. That's Jesus' view. I can only do what I can do. You don't need to do what I can do. You don't need to do what your neighbor beside you is doing. You need to do, and all of us need to do, what we can do. That's the lesson from this story. Don't get upset if you don't have the talent, the means, or the opportunity to do what someone else is doing in the life of this congregation. Just be sure you are doing what you can do. That's the compliment that Jesus gives to Mary. So I put in your notes in closing. First question, where shall I break the box? And these are kind of some added applications or lessons for the story. And we open little boxes every day in our life. We use good manners to go about our work. We're nice to others. We help when and where we can. Lots of, you know, quote-unquote, little things. They're really not little at all. We do go about our everyday activities. But occasionally, and there will come a time in your life and mine, a special occasion that will require more than the ordinary. Might be a vacation that you've been anticipating. You can't go on that vacation every month or every year. We're saving for that. And so there comes a time that we may want to splurge on something like that. Or a celebration. And we do that when we go out to eat. Usually we're having celebrating an anniversary or a birthday or something. We'll go to a different kind of restaurant, one with tablecloth, instead of where we don't have to pick up our own tray, you know, and put it in. So we splurge, on occasion. I can't do that all the time. It's impossible. Might be unexpected emergencies. We have to splurge on things that I didn't intend. When your car breaks down, that money for something else. No. I picked up an offering. My car really did break down. But we splurge. We splurge in our homes. You know, husbands, sometimes. Might want to splurge on your wife. Buy that expensive perfume. Might want to do what I do for Christine. I don't mean you do for Christine what I did, but you do to your own wife. As parents, we splurge on our children. We give them those daily needs, but then all of a sudden they reach an age or a time they're involved in something, and we say, "Oh, I need Mom or Dad. We need this for a trip, or for a uniform, or for a musical instrument." Wow, that's a lot. But you know what? We'll splurge for that. I can't buy that same instrument every week, or whatever it is. church on a daily basis, or as much as we can. We provide each other sometimes. We'll go out to eat, or we'll provide rides. We'll send cards. We'll do some work around the building. We may ask other each other, what can I do for you? How can I help? But once in a while, we may be called upon to splurge. We did that several weeks ago when we heard about the 12-year-old son of Joel Dia, the preacher and then the Church of Christ. And his son, back in the last week of January, collapsed at school. Went to the hospital, taken to the hospital. He was put in a coma, on life support. I haven't heard the end result yet. If he's off that or not, we'll find out about that later. But it came up for medical expenses, and it didn't take long for the men just to assemble real quick. And what can we spend to send up there? And we spent $1,000 just for the congregation, and some of the other men just got their wallets out here to add this to it. An unexpected event. But we splurged. You did. That was us. We think when Jack Farber, our missionary, comes to town, usually every January, even though we send him monthly support at the congregation, that's us, on a regular basis, and he comes and tells us that the story of the mission work, and he tells us, and I'm thinking, I brought my checkbook just in case, and I think I'll ante up a little. Then you hear his story. And he tells about all these missionaries that they're training down there, and he said, we'd like to send them to the lectureship, but it costs a little more money. Or we'd like to feed this family or support this one a little bit more. Moved, and he's like, Jack, I'll perjure Christian. Well, we will. I want to pay for one of your missionaries' trips to the lectureship there and back. Yeah. We'll do that. Can't do that every month. But I'll do it that night. We can do it within the community. Splurge. We hear about the natural disasters. Not only sometimes here locally, but across our nation or someplace else. And we let ante up. Yeah. And what we give, we can't give all the time. And we have our weekly contributions or monthly. But we can't make that splurge all the time. But there will be times when we have to go to second half. There will be times when not only will you give someone a cloak, you'll give them a coat also. There will be times when you want to bear an extra burden. There will be times that you want to do more than expected because all of us have an alabaster box. Some are filled more than others, but as Jesus told Mary, you have done what you could. That's all you need to do. But do what you can. Just do it. That's the lesson today. Mary didn't pre-plan, I don't think, that event. Nothing is said about that in the story. I don't know how long she's had that alabaster box. By many years. Saving it for a special event. And all of a sudden, Jesus is there. I'm breaking it open. Didn't ask anybody. Let's just do it. And she does. That illustrates what may happen in your life and mine. There'll be a time to splurge, to do more than expected. Go a second mile. Add a little more than what we do in daily living. We'll tell you more about this story next week. You probably think nothing else can be said, but I have more to say next week. Just be ready. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. Now, remember the New Testament church. You've never been baptized for remission of sins. We're going to accomplish that. We're going to assist you in that. We're going to sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation. Whosoever will may come. You need to respond to the gospel in some way. You need to ask brother for strength or encouragement. We can accomplish that too.